Harper Audio presents The Map That Changed the World, William Smith and the Birth of Modern Geology, written and read by Simon Winchester. Prologue. Above one of the many grand marble staircases within the east wing of Burlington House, the great Palladian mansion on the north side of London's Piccadilly, hangs a pair of huge sky-blue velvet curtains, twisted and tasseled silk ropes beside them. Although many may wonder in passing, rarely does any one of the scores of people who climb and descend the stairs inquire as to what lies behind the drapes. A blocked-off window, perhaps? A painting too grotesque to show? A rare continental tapestry faded by the sunlight? Once in a while, someone curious and bold will demand a look, whereupon a functionary will emerge from behind a door marked private and with practiced hand will tug gently on the silk ropes. The curtains will slowly part, revealing an enormous and magnificent map of England and Wales, engraved and coloured in sea blue, green, bright yellow, orange, umber, in a beguiling and unfamiliar mixture of lines, patches and stippled shapes. "The German Ocean," it says to the east of the English coast instead of today's North Sea. There is, in an inset, a small cross-section of what is said to be the underside of the country from Wales to the River Thames. Otherwise, all is readily familiar, comfortingly recognisable. The document is exquisitely beautiful, a beauty set off by its great size, more than 8 feet by 6, and the fact that it towers, looms indeed, above those who stand on the staircase to see it. The care and attention to its detail is clear. This is the work of a craftsman, lovingly done, the culmination of years of study, months of careful labour. At the top right is its description, engraved in copperplate flourishes. A delineation of the strata of England and Wales with part of Scotland, exhibiting the collieries and mines, the marshes and fenlands originally overflowed by the sea, and the varieties of soil according to the variations in the substrata illustrated by the most descriptive names. There's a signature by W. Smith. There's a date, August 1st, 1815. This, the official will explain, is the first true geological map of anywhere in the world. It's a map that heralded the beginning of a whole new science. It's a document that laid the groundwork for the making of great fortunes in oil, in iron, in coal, and in other countries in diamonds, tin, platinum, and gold and silver, that were won by explorers who used such maps. It's a map that laid the foundations of a field of study that culminated in the work of Charles Darwin. It's a map whose making signified the beginnings of an era not yet over that has been marked ever since by the excitement and astonishment of scientific discoveries that allowed human beings to start at last to stagger out from the fogs of religious dogma and to come to understand something certain about their own origins and those of the planet they inhabit. It's a map that had an importance, symbolic and real, for the development of one of the great fundamental fields of study, geology, which, arguably like physics and mathematics, is a field of learning and endeavour that underpins all knowledge, all understanding. The map is in many ways a classic representation of the ambitions of its day. It was, like so many other grand projects that survive as testament to their times, the Oxford English Dictionary, the Grand Triangulation of India, the Manhattan Project, the Concord, the Human Genome, a project of almost unimaginably vast scope that required great vision, energy, patience, and commitment to complete. But a signal difference sets this map apart. Each of the other projects, grand in scale, formidable in execution, and unassailable in historical importance, required the labour of thousands. The OED needed entire armies of volunteers. To build the Concord demanded the participation of 2 entire governments. More men died during the Indian triangulation than in scores of modest wars. The offices at Los Alamos may have housed behind their chain-link fences shadowy figures who would turn out to be Nobel laureates or spies, but they were all hemmed in by immense battalions of physicists. And to attend to all their various needs, be they bomb-makers, plane-builders, lexicographers, codifiers of chemistry or measurers of land, there were legions upon legions of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?